This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Our guest today is John Denson, an attorney and a scholar who's the editor of two very important books, Reassessing the Presidency and the Cost of War, both published by the Mises Institute, and also A Century of War, where he talks about how Lincoln and Wilson and Roosevelt all got the other side to fire the first shot. And John, I'd like to today talk to you about Lincoln's war. I mean, how did Lincoln get the South to fire the first shot? How did he scheme to bring that about?
Well, I cover that in the Lincoln and the First Shot, which appears as a chapter in Reassessing the Presidency, and then also as a chapter, the same article appears in Century of War. In writing that, I relied heavily on the work of Charles Adams that talks about the taxation policies that were in effect at that time. The definitive thing was that the Morrill tax was a protective tariff that was to raise the tax very high. And it had been talked about before the war, but it was passed only a few months before the war and signed into war by Buchanan in the last day of his administration. So it was in effect when Lincoln became president the next day. Many people had warned that that would cause problems that would be bad. But soon thereafter, on about April 11, the Confederates passed their constitution, which said that they would not allow protective tariffs. And so the protective tariff had generally been looked on as a tax where you have 10% or more, and it was not a protective tariff, but a revenue tariff if it was 10% or less. And Lincoln was for about a 30% tax, and that tax eventually got to be about 46%. So what happened was that Lincoln's first cabinet meeting, they talked about what to do about Fort Sumter. And there was a firm finding by the cabinet and at that time recommending that Lincoln not try to reinforce the troops or send supplies to Fort Sumter because it would cause a war. But when it began to seek in on the businessmen in the North that what was happening here is you're going to have a 30-40% tax on goods coming into New York and a 10% or less tax on goods coming in from Charleston or New Orleans, that this was going to dry up the business of the North and Northeast, and all of the trade would then shift to the South. So all of this began to weigh on the businessmen who then flocked to Lincoln and convinced him that he could not allow the South to secede and to create that tax-free zone, as they called it then, and put them out of business. And so much pressure was being put on him by the radical Republicans to not let the South secede, and then the businessmen flocked to him. So they decided to send some ships down to make it as an invasion. And they were sending some ships, some small boats, to act like they were sending supplies. And they were not actually out of food at Fort Sumter, but the South had gotten wind of that. And so they had cut off the new food supply a few days before. So Lincoln took the position he was merely sending bread to the starving people on Fort Sumter. And the South had warned them that if they sent ships in to try to resupply the fort, they would fire on them. And so Lincoln specifically designed this to cause the South to fire the first shot. In other words, to send that ship, one little small boat with supplies up, and then he had about 12 ships, warships outside. And when the South fired the shot, those ships never came in. They never did anything because the whole purpose was to merely get the South to fire the first shot. And that's the way he did it, all mainly on a business economic tax issue.
And it's something that we might recognize today. The Fort Sumter was not a fort designed to protect against some invasion of the U.S., as unlikely that would be. But it was actually a tax collection office, and it was an armed fort in order to make sure that all the businessmen in Charleston, the port of Charleston, paid their taxes to the federal government. And didn't Lincoln talk about how he was going to make sure that the taxes were paid in his unquoted first inaugural address?
He did. And he said he would not use force except for the collection of taxes. He had a way of phrasing things that made it sound like a very peaceful address, but in fact it was a direct threat to the South that if you carry out this tax program and don't collect taxes for the federal government, then there will be an invasion. And so he made a direct threat in his inaugural address that was perceived in the South as a direct threat of war. So it was very clear in his inaugural address he intended that the South would pay the protective tariff.
Didn't he also famously say that he was only concerned about the taxes and keeping the nation state together, that keeping everybody subservient to Washington, D.C.? He didn't really care if they had slavery, he didn't care if they didn't have slavery, but they must pay the taxes and they must be part of the Union. No secession, no decentralization, no independence.
Right. Of course, whenever you talk about this and say the war was not about slavery, people will accuse you of being a racist, a segregationist, which is absolutely untrue. The slavery issue was present at the time, but Lincoln clearly did not fight the war to abolish slavery. And it's often stated, as part of the what I call patriotic political myths, that what Lincoln really wanted was to abolish slavery, but he got into the war because the South fired the first shot. And he couldn't announce at the beginning that it was a war to abolish slavery. And that came later with the Emancipation Proclamation. It's clear from my reading of history that that was a military gesture on his part, mainly to keep the British from intervening. And he wanted to make it appear to be a war to abolish slavery. But that's completely repudiated by the fact of the settlement conference that occurred at Hampton Roads, Virginia, in about February of 1865, three people from the South, the Vice President, a former Justice of the Supreme Court, and a member of the Congressional Legislature, met with Lincoln and Seward on a ship at Hampton Roads, Virginia. And Seward made the proposal in telling them that there was a new 13th Amendment that was going to be passed that would abolish slavery. And if they rejoined the Union, that they would have the power to defeat that. And that was a reason for them to drop the war at that point and come back in the Union, indicating there'd be no Reconstruction, you wouldn't lose your right to vote, and so forth. But the main thing, they wanted the Union together, and they wanted this tax to be paid. And so they were offering at that time to defeat slavery if the South would come back, and the South was not interested in that. So Lincoln had stated very clearly in his inaugural address also that he had no intent on abolishing slavery. So the slavery issue is simply one of the patriotic political myths that's been created to justify the war. It, like all the other wars, the idea is to make it appear that the other side fired the first shot, and therefore it was always a just war, a defensive war. And that's true in every war except the American Revolution, which I think is the only war that was justified the American government in fighting. It was a defensive, just war.
And, of course, it did not involve the federal government, which has never fought a just war.
Yeah, it was a government under the Articles of Confederation.
But certainly slavery is a great evil. It never should have been allowed in this country. It's great to get rid of it. But Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, for example, as you pointed out, only freed the slaves, quote-unquote, where he had no control.
Right.
And kept slavery in the states that had stayed loyal to the federal government, mm-hmm. which is what that's what the Union means. Mm-hmm. So that was Lincoln. That was his war. And sometimes I think you talk about patriotic myths. Here's an unpatriotic fact that's kept hidden. But in Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler praises Abraham Lincoln as a great leader. And, of course, he loved him for his belligerent nationalism, for his aggressive war, for his protectionism, and also for his suppression of states' rights. And Hitler said states' rights needed to be suppressed in Germany, too, and that he would do it when he came to power. And, indeed, he did do that when he came to power.
Sure, destroyed the states. He put it into Bismarck
power.
Sort of brought all the states together, unified like a confederation, but Prussia was in charge. But it was Hitler that actually abolished the states.
No, that's
Germany.
Right. John Denson, thank you very much for coming on today. And I want to mention again John's book, Century of War. If you look at his archive on lewrockwell.com, John Denson, D-E-N-S-O-N, his articles very much repay reading. And at the bottom of them, you'll see little pictures of thumbnails of his book covers. Click on them, Reassessing the Presidency, The Cost of War, and A Century of War. I would say essential reading for these days. John Denson, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by lewrockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@lewrockwell.com. And thanks for listening.